do-do-do-do. Ha, la, 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 la. Do-do-do-do. This is my happy hour. Do-do-do-do. My. Hello, boys and girls, kids of all ages, ham bones and Harveys, and little worms and germs. We are back for another edition of the greatest pop culture, punk rock, wrestling, and all the fun sci-fi horror and all the fun stuff that you can cram into an hour-long radio show. I am George, your host with the most. Joining me once again, to my left, the boner himself, the ham boner himself, the ultra sassy, once again in a guinea tee, working hard all day long.
I don't think you can call it that, George. It's like a muscle shirt. I'm a heavyweight.
It's a wife beater.
It's not a wife beater, George.
I can't say wife beater either.
I don't think the right word. It's you can't call it a wife beater.
Once again, everybody, John McGuire's in the house.
Hey, everybody, I'm here.
And not to be outdone, I have way too many people on my soundboard. We've got the blackest of the black. He's midnight in the daylight. It is Harvey LeGuire.
Wow.
Welcome once again to the show.
The black, it's me. Just call me Dusk for today.
Just call you what?
Dusk, baby, right before it gets
dusk. Dusk. I thought you said dust. So be like, no. Instead of gold dust, you want to be called black dust. I was really confused for a half second there.
I feel like
that's
Harvey. I feel like at this point, he's like three nicknames away from being David Starr.
I don't know. I don't even know where. You know, he named himself Big Black, too. We need a column for him.
Right.
Wait, when did you actually, is the column that what created Big Black, or did you create
it
before that?
I'm pretty sure it was. I there's no reason for me to refer to myself as Big Black in public, but I think when I started writing for you, I'm like, I need a title, and Big and Black just seemed like it worked.
So one of the most popular columns in Life in a Bungalow, when I did my hardcore punk rock fanzine back in the day, was Big Black's column of anything he felt like talking about. Usually pro wrestling, but there was some weird stuff. And just so everyone knows, what was that?
Is that a that's
my dog.
Is that a chihuahua?
Okay. Kill the dog. Dog needs to be murdered right now.
George?
I'm sorry. Did I say that loud? Do you know how OCD I am?
Oh, yeah.
I know. It's bad. It's really bad, isn't it?
And I think that was my fault. I'm in a rolling chair, and I think I might have accidentally grazed her tail.
That's not quite murder, but, you know, do what you need to do.
Yeah,
do you know
understood.
To, to a dog, gets, it's a world of pain.
If she gets loud again, then I may step away.
It's okay. We do love puppies. We have two kitties that roam around here torturing Hambone. Also, you should be aware of that. We do have two cats, but I do clean the shit out of the basement before we have wrestling. So
we have two cats here, too. We got a dog and two cats.
All right. Just making sure if you need to take any meds, do what you need to do. We have a great show for you tonight, people. What do we got going on, Hambone? Talk to us.
Well, what we have tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about SummerSlam. We're going to
talk a lot about SummerSlam.
There's a lot about SummerSlam. There's a lot
going on.
There's
like 50 matches.
Yeah, and I think the show actually starts on Saturday night. We're going to talk about Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the previews that we've seen for Netflix upcoming Sabrina the Teenage Witch. We're going to gush a little bit about Castle Rock because we are completely over the moon for Castle Rock. And also, we're going to talk about archive. How do you say this?
We're
going
to talk about, like, how bad the situation is for preserving older video games.
That's what I was looking for.
It's so weird. Like, this is so nerdy, but I really think it's an interesting conversation.
It's very interesting and very important. But first, let me tell you about the drink this week.
Okay. Because I was going to forget the drink, as always.
I know, that's why.
Wait, I need to make an apology.
Oh, yeah?
Because clearly I'm racist, and I mean to be. I said that this week needs to be Harvey versus you, where he does a Jamaican cocktail, and then I realized he's Haitian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was bad. You didn't even call me out on that, Harvey.
That's how much I love you. Just keep that in mind.
I felt so bad. Haitians don't have, like, distilleries, right? Or, like, any sort of alcohol.
You can stop now.
We don't have distilleries. In all honesty, we're kind of busy with just regular run-of-the-day,
surviving.
Plumbing.
Yeah, you see, I was right. I'm sorry. I will never make you make a Jamaican cocktail. However, if you do want to come on the show one week and tell us your favorite cocktail and how to make it, we'd love to have you do it, Harvey.
Okay, no problem. I'll let you know.
In the meantime, though, John, what do you got for us?
So this week we're going to do Yuka's Grog.
Yuka's
Grog. It is spelled I UKA, Yuka's Grog. Now, this is a made to order for Yuka's Grog of the Maikai Gents to toast the band's 2005 CD, the Wiki Wiki Grog Shop. So, this is an original Beach Bum Berry recipe. It is 3/4 ounce of freshly squeezed lime juice, 3/4 ounce of unsweetened pineapple juice, 1/2 ounce of passion fruit syrup. You know how we do love the passion fruit syrup at Mai Tai Happy Hour. 3/4 ounce of dark Jamaican rum.
Not Haitian.
3/4 ounce of Demerara rum. And what you're going to do is you're going to shake well with ice cubes strained into a chilled cocktail glass. So almost like a martini. Just chill the glass, shake it with ice, and strain it into that glass. Yuka's Grog, delicious.
So we got 2 hot shots this week, really quickly, first of all. Looks like we're continuing this weekly conversation. James Gunn will not be doing Guardians of the Galaxy ever again.
This whole will they won't they thing is now a they won't.
They won't. He met today with Disney execs almost as a final, like, we just want to say goodbye. Bye.
Oh,
don't let the door hit you on the way out.
They gave him his stuff back?
They gave him the box to walk out. Ooh. They packed him up and they gave him the box. Though I did realize something. We got to stop feeling bad for the guy. He's going to have no problem getting a job.
Kind of. And he's also like super rich.
Yeah, I think he's going to do just fine. Maybe we shouldn't worry too much.
You know, as a guy who went and actually apologized for all this stuff like, 6 years ago, he's been on a journey of self-discovery. He's grown a lot as a human being. So this too shall pass for James Gunn.
Yeah, I'm not too worried. Not too upset.
I think he's fine.
Hopefully, it's Disney. It's the Marvel. I really think Kevin Feige is going to figure this out and find someone to direct it really well. It's already written by what's his name? I already forgot his name.
James Gunn.
Yeah, there we go.
First get his brother to direct.
But are they using his script? Or are they going to direct it?
They've all said they're using his script because they already paid for his script.
Yeah, and also that's I think the workaround with all the people just Batista who'd be like, I'm walking if you don't use his script. So it's
easy
enough.
It is what it is. Yeah,
it's fine. Something I would like to say.
Yes.
Rest in peace, Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know
yes.
how. Oh, yes. How terrible she is, you know, they say the queen of soul. I would just say she's God's voice on the planet Earth. Beautiful, beautiful voice, beautiful soul, beautiful heart.
I got nothing. The only thing I remember her for is WrestleMania 3 singing God Bless America.
Yeah, she tore the house down. If there was a roof on that motherfucker, she blew it right off.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hell of a lot better than Liberace's version.
Wow. I think there's a foot race between the Roseanne and Liberace version of any kind of patriotic song as to which is worse. But that said, Aretha Franklin, it's kind of amazing. Did you know she died on the same day as Elvis?
No, I did not. Elvis died today?
Elvis died today.
And Madonna turned 60.
Well, it's a big day.
It's crazy.
Well, Harvey, when you have good plastic surgeons and you live with a good dietitian and a lot of exercise, I mean, 60 is really attainable for most people.
Handbone 60.
I'm not 60, George.
And rich as shit.
I am not rich as shit. I'm not 60. I'm 39 and I'm just damn stinking cute.
Oh, Lord. Anyway.
But yeah, rest in peace, Aretha Franklin.
So, yes, speaking of death, lots of death.
Lots of death?
Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Wow. Oh, no.
Yeah,
I know.
That poor guy.
Harvey, what's your favorite memory of Jim the Anvil Neidhart?
Just him, no pun intended, well, no pun, stroking that goatee.
Harvey, like the family show.
I know, and my family's listening. No, I don't know. I was just more Brett. I liked his matches. He was that good assistant. But I love the promos. It's just him, and he's just stroking it, and you know, we're hungry, and we're gonna forget our manners. Just good promos like that. He made me happy. That's all I could say about him.
I gotta be honest. What I love most is what we've seen over the last few years on Total Divas.
Oh yeah,
he has been such a great character when he's on that screen, and he's so like kind of the buffoon dad, but he's so happy, and he so enjoys the cats and TJ, and just seeing all his daughters so happy. So. It's kind of sad. And he like died from, well, okay. So there's the thing about Alzheimer's, which looks like it might be true because they said the money, instead of in lieu of flowers, do send it for Alzheimer's.
Yeah, for Alzheimer's.
Though I don't know how bad he might have been, but it looks like he did fall.
He fell and he hit his head and that was it.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible way to go. And you're right, George. It really was nice to see him on Total Divas. Because he was really, really excited about his daughter and his daughter's success. Like, you know, you look at someone like Flair and how he's kind of like living vicariously through Charlotte. The Anvil was just really there to support and just kind of boost his daughter up and be psyched for her. So I don't know. I think it's insane. When I was a kid, he scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Because when he would like do that evil laugh and he'd like stroke his beard and he had the sunglasses on, like he may have been wearing pink, but he looked like he could murder me.
I honestly used to get a little bit bummed out that they would focus so much on her relationship with Natty's relationship with her uncle on the TV and not really mention Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Well, but Brett is, you know, it's Brett. It's Brett the Hitman Hart. I mean, the Anvil was, I don't want to say the sidekick, but he was the sidekick.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, and to think, you want to know a crazy factoid right now?
Yeah.
Marty Jannetty is still alive.
Wow.
Marty Jannetty's still alive by the skin of his teeth. One thing I will say, though, is I think Joey Janela is trying to get something together to raise money for Marty to get all the surgeries he needs to be able to, like, survive and walk and do all the things. Marty Jannetty's unkillable.
WWE tried so hard. When they brought him back for that little run in maybe 2008, 2009.
Right.
It was just such a waste that, like, I think he didn't tell them he didn't have a visa because he was, like, had warrants out for his arrest in certain states. That bummed me out because he had a really good match, I think, with Kurt Angle or somebody. He just tore the house down. But
I mean, he could still go at that time. I think he needs a new angle. I think his, like, angle is almost completely disintegrated.
It's possible.
And that's the thing. I often wonder, like, you know, with the WWE, like, they're really great about sending their former stars to rehab. Like, what about getting them surgery?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that's where the money is really well spent. You get them surgery, you get them back on their feet, and see what changes.
Well, they found a cheaper thing. Just like when you work for a company, a big corporation, they try to do wellness instead of health insurance.
Right.
And, you know, DDP yoga is a great substitute for surgery and cheaper.
That is a fair point.
Can I bring the question up? The obvious question.
Sure, then? Go ahead.
So is somebody in the very near future making it to the Hall of Fame?
Oh, because definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on,
Is that next year? Is that already penciled in?
Mm-hmm. Do you do him before Vader? Also, China's not in yet. Finally, do you do the Hart Foundation or Anvil Neidhart? Because I think it should be the Hart Foundation, but I think it's too soon for Bret Hart to go back in again.
I think you do the Hart Foundation because somebody will be there. He can probably speak. I think that'll work out. How's the rest of the family? I mean, the family kind of has an issue.
The rest of the family's dead, Harvey. Dead. They're all dead.
So the only person who has an issue is Owen Hart's wife.
Owen's wife, yeah.
Owen's wife. And I would think that it would be probably the Hart Foundation. Or if they induct him, they'd have to do it next year because Brett's still alive and Brett will talk.
That means in one fell swoop, you do the British Bulldog, you do Brian Pillman. You do.
Everybody goes in.
Owen, you're not. You can't get Owen in.
Well, if you do it as the Hart Foundation, but you just do it as the Hart Foundation without specifically mentioning him, maybe you get around.
She's got it, so they can't make money off of him, and they have to charge a door at the Hall of Fame. That actually is one of the reasons why he's not in yet.
And she's serious about it. I mean, Brett spoke about it, and she's responded like it's not happening. Nope. So.
Yeah, it's really weird. Mm-hmm. But on to something that I don't like double dipping, even though we've done James Gunn like 3 weeks in a row. It hasn't been full segments, though.
It's topical.
I don't like double dipping, but Castle Rock, holy shit. So last week, you'd seen like half an episode. I'd seen one episode. We were really excited. It's now 6 episodes in. We've watched the shit out of them. Harvey, you need to watch the shit out of them. This is the best Stephen King property I've ever seen on TV.
Ever seen.
Including movies.
Oh, yeah.
It's up there.
That's bold.
We don't know how the ending is going to go because, I don't know, someone said it great on my Facebook page, is that this is great because it has the essence of Stephen King, but he's not writing it.
So I feel like it's their version of Stephen King's Marvel Universe, if you follow me, because there's parts where they uncover stuff, where they go through old newspaper clippings when they're uncovering clues, and they're all newspaper clippings. Like there's a Cujo reference. Yes. There's the Stand By Me reference about the boy in the train track.
There's a Pet Sematary reference.
They were in a junkyard. Now, you also saw the latest episode, right?
Yeah.
So there was the scene in the junkyard. How much were you like expecting to see a crushed up Christine in that junkyard?
I was so expecting it.
I was looking at it.
But they're being smart. They're only doing stories that took place in Castle Rock. And do all his stories out of Castle Rock. Like Shining took place out of Denver or Colorado, I think. That said, I'm named after my uncle.
Torrance.
Oh, God, it's so good.
But that's not the best. All right, so yes, the Easter eggs are great, but the story is amazing. It is a weird, weird, weird pseudo sci-fi murder mystery. I don't even know. Like, it's just going so. What I love about it is that unlike shows like Westworld and shows like Westworld and Lost, where you're constantly getting more questions every week, I'm not wondering. Are they asking more questions? Are we gonna get answers for? It seems to just be weaving this tapestry
of a TV show that's so good, I'm excited week to week to see it and who's killing it.
So what I think about this is, and I 100% agree with you on this, they're doing a very interesting thing where they're doing that very Stephen King story thing where suddenly like the weird stranger shows up, or like all the archetypes from like every Stephen King story is popping up throughout the series. And at the same time, they're not doing it in a way where it's overbearing, where you're kind of like, oh my God, who is this person? Like by the end of the episode, when they pop up, you know exactly who they are, you know what their motivation is, and you know how they fit into the story. So they kind of, they keep you guessing in the way where every episode, you're kind of like trying to figure out what's happening in that episode while you're kind of looking to the larger arc, whereas like things like Lost, where every episode they're asking you so many more questions that you're going to spend years trying to figure out with no payoff. So there's always a payoff by the end of every episode. Mm-hmm. And they did a really good job with the trailers for this series, because there's a lot of stuff that's already popped up that in the trailers, it would have led you to believe it was a very different show than it actually is.
See, I never saw the trailers.
Yeah.
I just started watching it because I was like, all right, I need to watch this. My favorite things about it, I love the creepy kid. He's the best creepy kid ever in the history of creepy kids.
Oh, he's creepy.
He's super creepy. And
he was from, what was the thing? It was another Netflix show.
Well, he's a True Romance. He's True Blood Edward's brother in real life. And
He's another Skarsgård?
Yes. Yes, 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 he's a Skarsgård. Yes, 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 yes. Not the drone from Matt Hardy's world.
Skarsgård.
And I also really, really love the scene with the creepy cult kids with the paper mache heads.
So he's actually, let me bring this back. He is not only a Skarsgård, he is the Skarsgård. He's it.
Yes, from it.
He's Pennywise.
Yes.
Yeah, he's Pennywise from it. Okay. Which is it's awesome. He's another, once you get into the Stephen King properties, you kind of stay in the Stephen King properties.
So, what your favorite? Anything that's really stood out to you so far?
So, what's really stood out to me so far is I like the sheriff, the retired sheriff who's living with the mom,
who was played by the guy who played the creepy old man in Leftovers.
Who played the creepy old man in Leftovers? I like that there are some kind of like flash forward and flashback elements to it, but I like his story especially because he's the one character in the story where you know he knows a lot more than he's already shown you in these episodes. And he's like he's an integral part of the story. So I really do like that. And I love his interactions with it.
Yeah, so
Skarsgård.
I got to be honest. Anybody who's thinking about watch this, go watch this.
Go watch it.
It's possibly one of the best shows on TV right now. It's not Feel Bad, even though it's a George show. It's 100% worth hunting down and maybe even getting Hulu for $3 extra that we have a Spotify subscription.
I think you should definitely get Hulu for this. Hulu's got a lot of great content on it. My thing is, you know, as you've known, dear listener, I'm a binge watcher. I binge watch the shit out of everything I can get my hands on. That said, the way Hulu dropped this was great. They dropped the first few episodes and then they start peeling them off one by one every single week. This is the first TV show that I've watched in probably a decade where I am chomping at the bit and I actually want to make sure I'm home to watch it when it drops on Hulu. So it's awesome.
Wednesday nights, do it. Go catch up now.
Oh, it's great. Watch that and watch NXT. Win for everybody.
You have The Sinner too. Better Call Saul. Stuff you don't watch, but it's just as good.
I'll watch The Sinner. I haven't watched the new one yet. I'm going to like let a couple episodes build up.
Yeah, you should. That's better.
Binged. I love the first season, yeah. Sinner. That was great.
Harvey, what are your thoughts on Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
I didn't watch it much when I was a kid. I don't know. I don't have a real legitimate opinion on her, I can say.
What are your thoughts on Clarissa Explains It All?
Melissa Joan Hart?
I love Clarissa. That I love.
I meant to actually say Clarissa. So I need to tell you a Clarissa story, Hambone. Go for it. Clarissa was signing autographs at the Willowbrook Mall when I was either a junior or senior in high school. And I decided that was when I would propose to her.
Oh. Wait, to your wife or Melissa Joan Hart?
Melissa Joan Hart.
Allison, hold your ears.
This was well before Allison. This was a long time, long time ago in a time far, in a world far, far away.
So I can get a good gauge of this. Did you drive yourself to the Willowbrook Mall or did you take the bus?
I had a ride.
You had a ride? So you were like...
I think Brian Malloy drove me.
Brian Malloy drove you?
May have driven me, yeah.
Oh, and Lord.
So I got to the Willowbrook Mall. I waited in line. I was the oldest person there by far. It was all women.
And you were 14?
I was maybe 15, maybe 15 or 16. And I got there. I think I had a what do you call all those rings? A lollipop ring.
You had a ring pop?
I had a ring pop.
Oh, how romantic!
And I pulled it out when I got up there.
How 90s? And I
proposed to her, and she's like, "That's sweet." Pointed security and had me removed.
She had you removed.
Yes.
She had you physically removed.
Yes.
Wow, that is some good ring awareness, girl. Stay sexy, don't get murdered, Melissa Joan Hart.
I know.
Because she had to be like, what, 15 at the time, too?
She's a year older than me. Yeah.
Wow.
If you were like 7 or 8, you'd have gotten a picture.
I know. But I came off slightly creepy. I probably had blue hair and it looked discreet.
And you were like real tall, weren't you?
I was tall. By if I was 16, I was probably pretty tall.
So you were like 16. Gaunt, blue hair,
gangly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so you horrified her. Like if you were like black, my size,
black teeth. I had black teeth.
Oh yeah,
my teeth were rotting. It was bad.
That's right. Because what you got right
now, snaggle teeth. Oh, my whole mouth is fake.
Yeah, that's not stock. That's not stock. That wasn't stock on the model. Wow, really? So hey, listen, hey, I give her a lot of credit for back in the 90s to know when there was a creep around and had you rejected.
She may have been my first human crush, human celebrity crush.
Mine was Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Ooh, you went for older women.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Well,
she was fantastic. That was your first? You know what my first cartoon crush was?
Okay. Let me. You know what? I will give you that. She was the first one I fully, like when I was like a young man, 1988, and like there was like magic starting to happen, that she was there. But for me, if you want to go my number one, Julie Newmar, Catwoman. But she was like the Catwoman were the best. You had Julie Newmar, super hot. You had Lee Merriweather, super hot. Eartha Kitt, who was just on fire. She was so hot. Yes. And then Samantha from Bewitch.
Wow, you just like these older chicks. Mine was easy. It was Princess Aurora from Voltron.
Oh, that's a good one too.
And followed by Ariel,
The Little Mermaid.
Yes, she's
gorgeous.
Those are my first two.
Yeah.
I stuck with the humans. Whitley Gilbert, Different World. That was me.
Oh really? Yeah.
I loved her. I loved Claire Huxtable from the. She was gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Oh my God, yes, but not cartoons, just live women that I couldn't have.
Yeah, well, so around that time, Little Mermaid, Jessica Rabbit, you had like two ends of the spectrum where a lot of dudes were like first time with a cartoon being like, yeah, I would. You know?
I was very young. This was very tiny.
Well, no, I mean, this is just the general perspective. Like, you ask anyone, like, what do you think about Jessica Rabbit? They're like, I would.
No, Jessica Rabbit was a little too voluptuous for me. And like, it just was weird. Her body type was too strange.
But yeah, I think it was like also Julie Newmar's birthday yesterday or the day before that. I love Julie Newmar.
This is a very odd conversation. So Sabrina the Teenage Witch is coming back without Clarissa. If she's the mom, I will shit my pants.
Yeah, well just, I mean, you can shit your pants. Just don't go to a meet and greet. So, I'll be ejected again.
So as you are, you are the token huge Riverdale fan here.
Thank God you aimed that one at me. Yeah.
Oh, come on now.
You don't have the best record right now, George.
It's my honesty, my brutal honesty.
So this is made by the same showrunner, Roberto Agar-Sacasa, and I practice saying that. Fantastic, fantastic writer. It doesn't take place in this. As of now, they haven't fully committed to the fact that it could take place in both worlds. It doesn't take place in the Riverdale universe that's on the CW. It's its own thing. It's the actual Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which is based on the Archie comic, where she is a legit witch. It's not like, you know, the teen witch action you got from the Melissa Joan Hart series. She's like a legit witch. It looks spooky as hell.
So here's my favorite
thing. And Bronson Pinchot's in it.
Here's why I love it. When I heard that Sabrina the Teenage Witch was coming back, I was like, it needs to, like, if it does not star Sally fucking Draper, it is not worth watching.
Yeah.
It stars Sally fucking Draper.
It really does. It's so good.
She is the perfect Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, Netflix has just been crushing it, and they continue to crush it. Not so much with the movies, however, they do crush it with the TV show, so I'm really excited about it.
Have you seen Mad Men ever?
Yeah.
Either of you seen me? You saw Mad Men.
Oh, no, I know exactly who you're talking about, and when I saw that she was announced for it, I was like, nailed it.
Like, she actually became the best actress on the show towards the end of Mad Men.
Yeah.
I actually cared more about Sally Draper than anybody else.
Yeah, Mad Men was a little too feel bad for me. I just kind of checked out on that.
Harvey?
Too many kids, never watched it.
There you go.
You know, we need to do something about that. We need to, like, maybe erode a few kids.
No, here's what you do. Come and watch my kids. Give me like 3 weeks and I will watch everything. Everything. I need to watch Breaking Bad. I need to watch. I've got a lot. Give me a list. Watch the kids. Make sure they stay on their meds. Check their homework. And then everything is good. Three weeks. That's all I need.
So this is like Harvey's co-host boot camp.
We also have to get rid of the wife because she might just keep demanding sex.
Yeah, so all
3 weeks.
For that.
3 weeks. I got KY. Like, that's how it's going to go.
George.
That's what happens.
Wow.
But it's so true.
Oh
Wait till you meet Harvey.
I don't think that happens on the actual Wife Swap TV show.
He looks like Bobby Lashley, but a little bit smaller.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to Sunday.
It's insane.
Jesus
Actually,
Christ.
We only call him Big Black for his penis, but you know how it is.
George! I'm not going to be shaking his penis when he comes to shake his hand. Give him a high five.
Brian should not shake my penis. I'm not Randy Orton.
To be fair, he wasn't making the writers shake his penis. He was touching his penis and then asking them to shake his hand.
Well, then you might as well just throw it out there and let them shake it a bit. Come on. Listen.
Do you? And I sat there and thought about it. Like, A, no one is surprised that Randy Orton would do this to his writers. He shit in Stacy Keibler's bag.
It's a known fact.
That's
allegedly.
Allegedly. This is a man who was pretty much the worst of the worst scumbags back in the day.
Well, he's supposed to be different now. He's married. He's got kids. He's like, you know, calm down some.
He also has a gigantic penis. It's possible it just didn't fit into his shorts.
You're saying his shorts shrunk
do
when they washed them?
Do you know why he does that pose? He does that pose because it highlights his Randy, his RKO.
Whoa.
Yes. From out of, you know, his wife, she just shows up in the house. Oh my God, from out of nowhere.
I'll be home in an hour, but I've been there for a while.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, for Harvey doesn't get it because that's his life every day.
Jesus Christ.
Good save. Good save.
You're rich. He has a big dick.
I'm not rich.
I got nothing. I got charming personality. That's about all I've got.
I'm little and cute. That's my move.
That's
little and cute.
That's all I got. I'm adorable.
It's not even that little.
Don't body shame me.
I will say your hair like adds about 3 inches, so that's the height thing.
Well, I've been doing it a little differently lately. I've changed up the product that I'm using, and it no longer looks like I have a little Lego hat on anymore. Yeah. It looks natural.
Yes. One day we'll talk more about your emo hair, though. We need to really go deep into that era. Because more photos.
Oh, no.
I found more photos, and there was
100%. I want to see them.
You had mascara at one time.
It was eyeliner. It wasn't mascara. It was wildly different things. Two, please don't. let's try to keep a little bit, little kayfabe here, buddy.
I mean, Steve Austin once had long blonde hair. I mean, and no one, he doesn't hide that.
Different. He's also Steve fucking Austin. I was a chubby emo kid. Like, you know, there's a line.
In a pirate outfit with Guy Liner. I love you, Hambone.
Oh, well, here's my ask. Yes. Okay. So one day.
Yes.
I will find a wonderful woman to marry all of this.
Yes.
On that day, once it's legal and it's harder to get out of than most things, like we would need a lawyer to separate it.
Yes,
I let you unseal everything.
Ah,
you just gotta keep that.
So you're gonna be able to redo Hambone Behind the Music and you won't lame out on it.
Absolutely, I will shoot on everything. You can unseal all pictures. I just need to. I mean, this obviously is gonna take a while, but you know, I'm just saying that once I am legally married to someone, where if they saw those photos and wanted to divorce me, man, they'd have to work for it.
Those photos are on the internet.
Yeah, but we're not trying to direct people to find
those.
They're
on YouTube.
George, Jesus Christ, kayfabe.
I mean,
I know what you're talking about. Like, There's one picture of me with an afro somewhere.
Yeah, but dude, an afro would only make you look like tough and
if
cool.
If you go on the GIF thing on Facebook and you search hard enough, you find the footage of what's his name from My Chemical Romance clotheslining you on stage.
Yeah, but these bits is
like that's a GIF maker.
Let's not keep talking about this. Moving along. Jesus Christ, George. Moving along.
I actually do love that. I sit there and look at it sometimes just to smile when I'm at work having a bad day. Just you getting clotheslined on stage and wonder, wow, did you continue to play after that? Because that looked painful.
I can take a bump like a champ.
It is beautiful, Harvey. One day, if I find it again, I'll send it to you. But we won't.
Hey, bad segue. Can I jump in? Just a quick question.
Go ahead.
We're talking about Stephen King.
Sure. Yes.
Right now, no thought. First thing that pops into your mind, best Stephen King movie now.
We were supposed to do that back in the day. We never did that episode. Salem's Lot, we saw recently, and it still holds up, and it's one of the best ones.
David Saul, that's it.
But,
I'm done.
But I gotta go with, first thing that pops in my mind is, see, I want to say Shawshank Redemption, but I think I love Stand By Me more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
interesting.
The
Stand meets a lot to me. The Stand meets a lot to me.
Harv, what about you?
Tommyknockers.
No, The Running Man.
Ooh.
Mm. But it's not. I wouldn't put it up against Stand By Me.
So here's the thing, and this is actually it's a cool thing that you brought up, Harv, is that so we all named you named Stand By Me, you named The Running Man, I named Salem's Lot. Like Salem's Lot to me is the most. It's when you think Stephen King, you think horror. You don't think something like exactly. Stand By Me. You don't think something like The Running Man.
Right.
So that's cool. I mean, I love Stephen King. I think he's pretty awesome. And he's made some really diverse stories that if it's that good that it's just ingrained. I thought that was always Richard Matheson. I didn't know Stephen King. That's great.
For what?
The Running Man.
The Running Man. No, The Running Man is with the Bachman books. Now that said, that was Richard Bachman,
right?
When he was going under, but I think so was Stand By Me and Shawshank Redemption. I could be wrong, right. But I think he was going under the pen name to do something a little more different than the horror he was pigeonholed for.
See, that's
I was expecting somebody to say Misery. I'm surprised nobody threw that
Misery's
out there.
Good. Misery's good. I mean, so is Carrie, and there's a lot of the new It movie is incredible.
Stephen King's prolific, and I mean, I think that's the one thing that is never really talked about in the conversation when people come up with Stephen King shows, Stephen King movies. He's deep. He is a prolific writer. Mm-hmm. So
Green
many
Mile's
more
amazing.
Green Mile, yeah.
And then then his worst movie ever made, Dreamcatcher.
Yeah, well,
There's no argument on that. It's Dreamcatcher. Dreamcatcher is the worst movie ever made in the history of movies.
Yeah, it's up there.
I agree. I'll give you that. Okay, listen, by the way, it's a tie. I just realized that I love Christine
Christine's good.
As Running Man, just because it's Schwarzenegger at his absolute worst. And Jesse's in there. You can't go wrong with Jesse
If you dig through the Mai Tai Happy Hour archive, Harvey, you will find my episode dedicated just to Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's out there. It is so out there. I went too deep on that one. That was where I went like...
So yeah, you did the one. Now, did you get as much hate mail as I got for the Evil Dead episode, or
no? I don't think anybody. I didn't get any hate mail for Conan.
No, that's right, because no one dislikes Conan.
No one dislikes
perfect.
I don't know what happened with you and Evil Dead. Was weird. So something that popped up on Twitter yesterday, the day before, was someone dropped some real knowledge on us. Here's a fact, a true fact. Of the 721 U.S. sold, North American sold Super Nintendo games, only 51 are currently preserved for console play. 51. And at the rate that companies are going out of business, companies are just disappearing, video games companies are disappearing, there is no way to preserve some of these older Super Nintendo, Nintendo games and Sega games that legally. There's plenty of ROMs out there, just like really shitty ROMs you could play, and sometimes they're pretty good. Most of them are pretty crappy.
Emulators.
But the Wii U, which should be a place to get, not even Wii U, but like the new one. I'm blanking on the name of the new Nintendo system.
Switch.
The Switch. There's no way to get some of these third-party games, and it's just kind of sad. And it made me like, it bothered me a lot for some reason, because... You think pinball, I love pinball. Pinball is my favorite pastime in the world. Love pinball. We'll kill one day there will be a deck in this house, but it's tough to drop that type of money because pinball machines are extremely expensive to maintain.
Yes.
And there's, I think, like 11 miles of just wiring in a pinball machine. Yet somehow people are maintaining pinball machines.
Right.
But nobody is preserving and maintaining old video game IPs. And that's just kind of sad.
So... My thing with it is, you brought this up today, and it was pretty cool because I did a little research, and I think about the Library of Congress, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have the Library of Congress; they preserve all the books. You've got places where they will preserve old movies for the archive everything. Why isn't there a place to do that? Video games has been a medium now for decades, and it's not going away anytime soon. It's only improving and it's only growing. So why wouldn't there be an organization that would actually preserve all this? Now, granted, you know, I understand why with the Switch, a lot of those they made like 571 games.
721.
How many of those games actually sold?
And that's the
thing. Like Duck Hunt numbers. How many of those games like sold the Legend of Zelda numbers?
So my perfect example is Athena.
Right.
I don't know if I spoke about this back in our drunk era, but Athena was one of those games I really wanted. I went to Toys R Us. I grew up very poor. I really wanted a new video game. My dad was like, I don't know. We can't really afford it. And I found Athena for NES, which was a Greek version of Zelda with a female character.
Right.
And somehow I convinced my dad, you need to buy this for me because it's Greek. And I need to like be more Greek. And he bought it for me. It probably was a dime store game, dime bin game.
Right.
But I went home and it was horrible. It was very much like Ghosts and Goblins where you died after one hit. Like you never got past the first level. But I just thought about like, try finding Athena to play it today.
So there's a place in Clifton, New Jersey called Digital Press Games. Mm-hmm. And they are, and I've seen them pop up in different states that I've been in. There's a collector's market for old Nintendo games. Digital Press Games has like a very small museum inside of it for old systems and like, you know, and very important games. However, they still have the racks. I mean, we used to have Funko Land mm-hmm. when we were growing up. Now, Funko Land was pre-GameStop. Mm-hmm. It was a place where you could go and you can get old Atari games, old Nintendo games, Sega Master System games, Sega CD games. Because by the time Funko Land came out, I think PlayStation 1 was just about to be released, or it was just released. And so it was a place where you could still go and get all those games. And then once the PlayStation 2 came out, I remember Funko Land started going away because they were at a point where like, well, we're only going to sell new games now. We're getting rid of everything before the Super Nintendo system because no one's buying these games.
There's also that excellent shop in Asbury Park in the mall, that little mall thing.
Right, Cookman.
Yeah, that sells all the old games. That's awesome, but then the problem is there's no easy way to play them.
There is not.
Harvey, what's your thoughts on this? You have to have not had kids back when the Nintendo was around.
Well, George. I got to say, first growing up, I didn't play video games. And I was an only child, so I played with actual games as opposed to video games. But
I mean, I know there was no electricity in your village in Haiti.
No, we didn't have calculators. We just had abacus. We just used our fingers and we just counted and hoped.
They played Hangman and that's it.
Wow.
No electricity. Oh my God. I'm telling my dad, be warned. If you feel somebody poking you in the back, that's that Haitian voodoo that we deal with. So don't take it personally, though.
That's fine.
You know what? Can I just say the only video game that I loved, and it wasn't Nintendo. I'm pretty sure my dad bought me some random video game system from Radio Shack in like 83 or something. And it's one game I used to play where it would just be fruit would pop up on the screen. And all you had to do, you had to just circle it. And every time you circle the fruit, you got a point. That's the only, and I don't know what the name of the game is. It sounds cheesy as hell, but I loved that game. That's the only video game I ever played.
This is so sad, Harvey. This is so sad. I gave so much money to Wycliffe Jean in Haiti.
George.
Experienced that.
I'm shaking my head at you right now.
That earthquake. And you were left with the fruit game you had to circle.
Listen, like, if anybody's listening and knows what the name of that game is, I will be forever in your debt. I want to find that game. I don't know what the hell it's called.
Yeah.
And it sounds boring as hell, but I'd play it again, and I would show it to my children.
See, that's the kind of game that sounds like it would be gangbusters on a cell phone. Like, you could just do it right there on the cell phone.
It's like Snake.
You know, the thing is, there's a lot of companies that do come out with like these small little box consoles, and you used to see them around Toys R Us, and it would have like 50, 60 games in there, and not so much Athena, but there'd be games like Athena, games that the Switch store wouldn't pick up.
The C-rated games. C-list, yeah.
And I wonder what is the rights issue with these games that they can't just sell them off to someone to make a giant like master game like that.
I think it's just the original files and stuff. I think it's going too far. I think there's gonna be a point where you're not gonna be able to actually like read the original game.
But they make them in the emulators, so they have to exist because if you can get
but I don't think that's how it works. I think emulators are actually, I don't know how it works. I won't lie, I'm talking out of my ass right now. If anybody knows anything about ROMs and emulators, we'd love to have you on the show. I do want to talk about so there was Athena. And then there was also, you know, obviously the new game systems like the NES Classic and the Super NES Classic. So Nintendo's doing it, but they're doing it for their own properties.
Their own properties and also the big hit games, the A-list games like Castlevania, Contra.
I want Battletoads right now.
There is a system that has it. There's, I think, a Sega system that's coming out that's going to have Battletoads because they are making a Sega Genesis version of like the Nintendo Classic. And it's going to have Battletoads.
Battletoads was Nintendo. But
no, the Battletoads across the board.
Battletoads was amazing. It was so much better than the fruit. I'm so sorry, Harvey. The way he grew up, it's just...
Jesus Christ.
I think we need to do a GoFundMe for him or something just to get him a video game system. I feel so, so bad.
Well, I've got Xbox One now.
You have an Xbox
One. my son is playing Fortnite constantly on that. But that's as far as I go in terms of video game systems. So.
Yeah. Yes. What game, if you could have one game, Hambone, from your youth that you want to play again that you don't know if you ever will be able to, which one would it be?
Oh, I want to say it's
the fruit that you circle.
No, I think it's called Sunsoft. It's not Sunsoft. It's an a game that's on an island. Let me look it
you
up.
Look right for now. That, and I will start talking about the fact that I don't know what I was going to talk about when I continued this. How are you doing, Harvey? It's a good night, isn't it? It's a kind of nice outside.
It's beautiful.
How's you know that world? What's it like living in Sayreville, where the only like thing there that's worth anything is the Starland Ballroom, and even that used to be called Hunkabunkus.
It's called Star Tropics.
Is that what it's called now?
Yes. Yeah, no. The game was called Star Tropics.
Oh, you found it.
Not the Starland Ballroom has been rebranded as Star Tropics.
Well, give it time.
That was the game.
Is that a good venue? I'm sorry, completely off the point. Is Starland good?
I don't know. It's fine. It's fine.
It's all right.
It's a Stone Pony type of place, but a little bit bigger.
But I'd rather go to the Stone Pony and go out to the Summer Stage and be by the beach, or go to White Eagle Hall in Jersey City.
Yeah.
I live about 5 minutes away from there, and I've never seen a show.
Yeah. If you're 5 minutes away from the Starland Ballroom, go to see a show there. That's awesome. It's just for us to drive all the way down there for a show. I'd rather go a little further and go to Asbury Park.
Yeah, if Bad Religion plays there, we'll drag you there. But for the most part, I don't know what you're doing right now. You're murdering the dog, but it's too loud. So stop it, Harvey. Stop making the noise.
I'm sorry. It's the dog.
It's okay.
I'm not touching it. She's running around.
Then I feel bad. I just yelled at you and your dog.
Just yelling at the dog.
The closest I ever got to seeing a show at Starland Ballroom is Method Man and Redman were there once. And I was going to buy tickets, but they sold out too fast, so I didn't go.
Yeah, I mean, it's about a 2,000-person venue, so it's
small.
It's small.
I saw the Wu-Tang Clan at Hammerstein Ballroom, the last live performance ever of Old Dirty Bastard. It was the one where he showed up through the back wearing the big red jacket. And he did his line. He did his song.
He did Shimmy Shimmy Ya. He did like the two verses that he's on the 36 Chambers and Split.
And then the fucking SWAT team came in the front door, and he ran out the back. They found him 3 days later in Philly at a Burger King or something, and that was the end. Sadly, the end of Old Dirty Bastard.
Good run for good run for Old Dirty.
Prison did not do him well at all.
Doesn't do most people well.
Yeah. So summer, super summer. Oh, you want to try to talk about something else before we?
Yeah,
do
real quick. So Harvey, speaking of the Wu-Tang, have you seen the new hip hop WWE shirts that are exclusive to Foot Locker for SummerSlam?
No, are they cool?
So they got a few different designs. I mean, they have a really over the plate Macho Man design. It's a yellow T-shirt with a checkered cap, sunglasses on. It says Macho Man. They have the NWO Wolfpack logo, except it says NYC. They have the Ultimate Warrior's face as a subway map. They have the Wu-Tang W, but it's Ric Flair and it says Wu.
One I've seen before.
And then the Piece de Resistance. You know the iconic picture of Biggie Smalls with the crown on his head.
Yes, sir.
Swap out Biggie and put Andre the Giant in.
Ooh, that one's a good one. That one's a good one.
I think it's only exclusive to Foot Locker, though, and I think it's like a limited supply thing. I just saw Kofi Kingston putting it up because we were about to talk about SummerSlam, so I thought it was topical.
Where do I find it? Do I have to go to Foot Locker?
I think it's like there's two Foot Lockers in New York City that are offering them right now.
And you probably have to wait in line for 7 hours.
Yeah.
And then fight to not get them. Yeah. They'll be on eBay for $2,000 tomorrow. Mm-hmm. SummerSlam, the Smark WrestleMania. It's upon us. It's in New York. It's in Brooklyn one more time. We are going to NXT TakeOver on Saturday. We talked about that last week. This week, let's talk about SummerSlam. I'm in a weird place on SummerSlam, guys. I gotta be honest. There's too much stuff going on. There's way too many matches. Some look really good. Some look bad. Once again, we're not gonna go through these with our predictions. I'm just gonna say stuff, and you're gonna talk about them. That sounds like a good idea, right?
Love it.
And we're gonna. The pre-show is looking really bad. I mean, you know, we're looking at some good matches like Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega versus Rusev Lana.
That's going to be awesome.
But Rusev already buried the pre-show match on his Twitter, which means he's losing. So we already know how that's going. Cedric Alexander buried on the pre-show, as well as the Boss and Hug connection.
Yeah,
so that's the pre-show. Nobody needs to come before 7 o'clock to my house.
There you go.
I got nothing for you. The first match anyone might care about is Bobby Lashley, Harvey's brother, versus Elias, my father.
Jesus,
I don't even know what are your thoughts on that? Do we care about Bobby Lashley, Harvey? Do we care about your brother?
No, we don't.
Nope,
don't care.
No. I'd like to say more because, you know, we're related and such, but no. And he hasn't sent me any cool swag, so no. I hope he gets smashed.
And your sisters, your poor sisters, what they went through. I'm so sorry.
The struggle continues.
Realistically, the first match, I don't even care about this. I want to see Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin only to find out the demon comes out.
I don't know. The demon's not been seen for a very long time.
It's not worth it for this? No. For Baron Corbin? Hell
yeah.
No way.
I mean, he would have pulled the demon out sooner for like an actual title.
We have the B team versus the Revival. Does the Revival win the titles? No.
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 B team's hot right now.
B team's hot.
Speaking of, real quick, is Matt Hardy retiring or?
No.
No,
that's some storyline.
No, he's gonna do yoga. He's gonna do DDP yoga and try to
unfuse his hip. Jesus,
That's all I got about that. He is not wrestling in this. The Bludgeon Brothers, however, are fighting the New Day. I just don't care.
Don't care. I love the New Day so much, and I just don't care.
And I do. I do. The Bludgeon Brothers. It's just I don't know what's. I don't know how the New Day wins this, but I don't know how they lose it either because they've lost a lot.
They just want the Bludgeon Brothers to have a good match, so they threw them in there. As usual, throw the black man in there to make the white man look good. But that's just shameful. We can do better than that.
Yeah, especially when you have the Samoans that could do just as good of a job.
You know what? I would much rather see New Day's Uso and burning the house down. Just bringing the house to its knees.
I kind of would have mind seeing the Bludgeon Brothers versus the Bar.
Yeah, I would. Fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's start getting serious now. We're up to the first 10 matches. Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens for the
Money in the Bank. Squash.
You think it's going to be a squash?
It's going to be a squash.
Wow. Squash. Interesting. I don't know.
I don't know if it's going to be a squash. I do think Braun Strowman's keeping the suitcase.
He's definitely keeping the suitcase.
Harvey?
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not going to pick it, but I wouldn't be shocked if KO got the W somehow. I don't know. Does Braun have a brother or something we don't know about that's going to come out of nowhere and start some feud? I don't know.
Yeah, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. Yes, he does have brothers.
He doesn't need the title. He really doesn't. I mean, if this is an opportunity to do something major, take that suitcase off of him, give it to KO, and put him in a feud, Braun, with somebody else.
Oh, your passion is so wonderful and so misguided.
Damn right it is.
So misguided. This is not what's going
to
happen.
Because we'll get to it at the end, what's going to happen, Harv. We're kind of in alignment of a couple things here.
Nakamura versus Jeff Hardy for the U.S. title.
I just don't care.
I think Nakamura is going to keep it.
The minute that I have to see Nakamura do another nut shot, I'm just going to tune out mentally, go crack a beer, and eat a slice of pizza.
And mail somebody a jock.
And mail somebody
was
a jock.
Was Nakamura Hardy like a dream match? Was that a match you were waiting for? Because I feel like that's how they hyped it. I never needed
it. It's a rematch.
It's a rematch.
No. I mean original. I know this isn't the first time, but I mean in general, when they first started, they kind of talked about it like, oh my God, the match.
I think Shinsuke versus anybody from the old girl, Jeff Hardy versus anyone is considered the dream match right now.
I guess that's
not saying it is.
There's a big borrowed time element going on here. And you know what? People were hot on Shinsuke for a very long time, and he just never delivered. So
I don't know. I think I like him as a heel. I just don't like him as a I will punch you in the dick every single time.
Every single time.
That's what bothers me.
I don't like anybody who just punches you in the dick. So, I mean, that's just crossing the
board. Now, this one's going to be a great match. But, again, I don't know if I care because I don't care about Dean Ambrose. It's Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler. So you're going to have Dean Ambrose probably in the corner trying to keep the giant, like, Irish, not Scottish dude out of the way.
And also, I don't want to see Dean turn on Seth and then start a feud again with just something we've seen already.
No, here's what you do instead is you don't turn them, but they need a third guy. We get 3-on-3. We bring the Shield back together, and then they need to add a third person, and we get those feuding. So maybe we can do something there. I'm actually not a big fan of Ambrose. He never really.
No one here is a fan of Ambrose.
He also looks like Triple H now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he spent some time in the gym clearly, or at least under a needle.
Cut off all his hair.
Yeah.
SmackDown's Women's Championship. This is Carmella versus Becky Lynch with Charlotte. I would so much rather have seen just Asuka versus Charlotte versus Becky Lynch. I think James Ellsworth is going to do something. I think Carmella's going to win.
Yeah, sounds about right.
You don't feel a turn coming here? You don't see a turn? You don't see Becky turning?
Becky, we were just talking about the other night. Becky cannot be a heel. She just will never work as a heel.
Yeah, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Charlotte turning heel again, I could see.
Well, she should have been a heel. I think if you wear a robe in professional wrestling, you should be a heel.
Bobby Roode.
I think it's the absolute truth. You should be a heel, and I can't even speak to that. Then, the match we've been waiting for forever, yet they're going to do it right here. Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. I think The Miz is going to go over because this needs to be the start of something, unless Daniel Bryan doesn't renew his contract.
They're going to ruin this. They're going to ruin it. It'll be a good match, but they're going to find a way to ruin this. And we're getting this match too quick. There's still time.
So I feel like he's not going to renew his contract, and that's why we're getting it so quick, because they've built so they've invested so much into it that if he doesn't renew his contract and bounces and it just leaves it hanging like that, we'll never get it again.
I think he's going to renew. I think they're going to work it into the storyline. I think The Miz is going to call him like a sellout for walking out in the company. I think they're going to go that route.
Mm.
If they go in my head and they do what I say they should do, they should have Daniel Bryan fake quitting and do the New York Comic Con during that time and say, maybe leave with the belt, just like CM Punk. And then The Miz calling him a wuss, and he comes back out at Survivor Series. They do another match, and then they blow it all off at Royal Rumble or WrestleMania. I don't know. Or even The Miz wins the Royal Rumble. Why am I turning Daniel Bryan a heel, though? I don't know. I think this could be done right if I'm booking it.
Daniel Bryan, could he be a heel? At this point, I don't think he could do it.
We're tired just going through this list.
You know what? It's funny that you mentioned CM Punk. We're going to do a quick little aside here. Yeah, it'd really be impossible to turn Daniel Bryan heel because he's so beloved. And realizing after all these years of people chanting CM Punk, like never letting it go, even after he lost in the UFC, I think the thing that finally turned the fans on CM Punk was him suing Colt Cabana.
He's going to get booed.
Like that's that.
If he shows up at all in.
Because I was like, what would it take? No, he's in Chicago. No one's going to boo him in Chicago, even for suing Colt Cabana. But like, I'm like, what would it finally take to get? They're just never going to let CM Punk go. Well, he sued Colt Cabana. Yep. So that's what it's going to take. So it would take something colossal like that to get people to boo Daniel Bryan. I digress.
So I've got three more matches for you.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know what order they're in, but I think this is the order, or it's going to be deeper in there. But AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe should headline, will not headline.
Of course not. Nope. I think it should. It deserves to, but.
It would be amazing if Samoa Joe won.
Oh, I think he's going to win.
Yes.
I think it's Joe's time.
And then Braun Strowman's going to cash in. Pipe bomb dropped.
Oh. You just sized that we were talking about before.
Yep.
No.
I think Braun's going to cash in on Brock.
I think Brock Lesnar's going to win and leave with the title, and they're not going to do that match last because the crowd's going to shit all over it because they want that double belt at fucking UFC. They want him rolling in with that strap on his shoulder. And I think it's the stupidest reason ever because nobody cares, but I think Brock Lesnar's winning, and I think they got to do that not as the last match.
I would never say it to his face, but I hate him so much.
Hey, Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
What do you do with Reigns when he loses?
I would say it with a megaphone from like across the street that I think he couldn't close the distance on, so I could I could at least run away or get a good start to hide because I'm small and cute. Although I would say it would have to be like a busy street because his cardio is pretty good. So yeah,
Times Square.
Well, Ramona Reigns is headlining the women's pay-per-view.
Ramona?
Yes.
Yeah, no, Ronda Reigns.
Ramona Reigns is headlining.
Is that Ronda Rousey's evil twin?
No, that's who she's fighting.
What?
Yes. Ramona Reigns is fighting Ronda Rousey. You haven't heard?
Oh, Jesus Christ, George. I just got what you're laying down.
I'm sorry. I don't know why it took that long. I think the match that's going to headline the show is going to be Alexa Bliss versus Ronda Rousey.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
And
I'm excited for the match.
And I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm not sure. I think Alexa Bliss needs to win. I think Ronda Rousey needs more of a, rise to the top. But I don't know. If she wins, they got to close the show with that.
I think she's walking out of it with the belt. I think that she's walking out with the belt. I think Samoa Joe's walking out with the belt. I think you're right. I think Brock is walking out with the belt, but literally walking out with the belt and going to UFC. So that's where I'm at.
And I think Braun Strowman might cash in on... Maybe he cashes in on Ronda Rousey after she wins the belt.
What?
Bro.
Wow.
Joey Ryan's head would explode.
Oh, my God. Which head? What are we talking about?
Whoa, Harvey.
Ba-dum-bum.
Don't worry. Don't worry, Harvey. Joey Ryan's got no competition on you.
Oh, we knew that. That wasn't even a discussion.
I mean, I've seen the moves you've done with yours. And it's George. Like not just a powerplex. He's done, you know that move where the one guy, like Lex Luger used to do it, holds the other guy in the air for like 2 minutes, just holds him vertically in yeah. the air. He can do that with his penis.
So stop say, telling everybody yes. my secrets.
Jesus. Yeah. Big Black
like
can
being
do that.
Serious, dude. Come on. Listen, any hold on, Sue. Alexa, let's talk about Alexa and Rhonda for a second here.
Sure. Cool.
At some point, I'm assuming Italia at some point is gonna turn or was gonna turn.
I think Natalia's gonna be busy this weekend.
Yes, clearly. But I'm thinking, do you think aside from, you know, the real personal issues, would this have been a time when her best friend comes out to support her and then turns on her? Do you think this would have happened or not yet?
I don't know.
I
think Tamina would have cost her the match. No, I just completely made that up. I don't know what Tamina's. I have no idea.
I
just feel bad for Tamina.
Maybe it's a little early because, I mean, they really hyped up the best friend thing. Oh, we trained together and all this stuff. But they would need to do a little bit more seasoning on this. We can set up. Like, she's training, preparing for this title.
I think the turn happens at Survivor Series. And I think it happens at Survivor Series where Ronda is, like, leading the Survivor Series team for Raw. And then that's where Natty would, like, naturally turn on her. You're right. It's not seasoned enough. You know,
nothing.
More
seasoned.
Importantly, can it even happen now? I mean, at this point, are we booing Natalya for the next few months?
No, Natalya's so not going to be on TV for a while.
Yeah,
right. So I'm thinking, but when she comes back, if it's a week, if it's 3 months, she comes back, she's automatic face. I don't care what she does.
I know.
Yeah.
I think she should never been heel to begin with. Mm. If you watch Total Divas, like we watch it, and we watch it hard.
We do watch it hard.
You would understand why she could never, ever be a heel.
Yeah, I think she could be like naturally like the most over female face.
She's that nice? She's that naturally?
She likes cats, she likes Harvey. Cats. She loves so many cats.
That so makes her heel in my eyes. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not an animal person at all. I have animals because I'm outvoted by my family. But
each child needs a cat. That's the way I see it. I told my wife we can never have more. Like we can never get another cat because the cats cannot outvote us. We can't be more cats than us. And now we have a kid. So I feel there might be another. Now there's room for an argument. We're not saying anything. But you know that might happen. It might happen. I don't know. It's frightening. It's a frightening word with this many cats. Anyway, that is SummerSlam. This is another week in the bag. This is episode 81.
Wow.
Harvey, has anything awesome happened to you this week? Is there anything you'd love to share with the world?
Oh, awesome. Awesome. No, but I'm gonna venture outside of the awesome just for this week.
Sure.
Because I'm always happy with things, but we spoke about her quickly earlier, but one of my favorite voices, and I mentioned that on Twitter, I think you guys saw, I loved Aretha. I loved Aretha Franklin. So while I would typically be happy, if there's anybody out there who had an opportunity to see Aretha perform, I think it was at the Emmys when she did Nessa Dorma because Pavarotti couldn't make it.
Right.
The single, purest, most ridiculous performance ever. That makes me sad because that talent is gone, but happy because that performance was beyond reproach. I would watch her. I'd listen to her sing the encyclopedia. She's amazing. So take a few minutes and watch her do that performance.
You want to hear a good Aretha Franklin story, Harv?
Go for it.
So my parents grew up in Paterson, New Jersey. My dad was one of 11. My mom was one of four. And, you know, they grew up poor in Paterson. And they grew up in the 60s. And during that time,
and they were Catholic,
yeah, Catholic-ish. During that time, well, my dad's side,
my dad's 11 kids.
I thought that was implied. My dad raised me on rock and roll and classic soul and 50s music and all the good stuff. So they used to just go to the Apollo Theater because back in the day, you know, you would go to the Apollo Theater to see all the great acts. My dad loved Aretha Franklin, like just. If you told my dad that Aretha Franklin hung the moon and the stars, he would believe you because she was, I mean, that voice
yep.
just was everything. So my dad and some of my uncles, my aunts, they went to the Apollo Theater to see Aretha Franklin. And it's funny because she gets on stage and she starts singing. And the way the way he described it to me, he told me once, he's like, he was just overtaken, just his His body was just overtaken by her voice. And he jumped up on stage. He ran over, wrapped his arms around her, and he says, "I love you, Aretha." And then got escorted out.
She called security.
No, she didn't have to call security. Like, he jumped up off the floor, and he went for it. And, you know, he put his arms around her, and he just proclaimed his, like, undying love for Aretha Franklin. You know, and that was it. I mean, the 60s were a different time. So, I mean, that kind of stuff was, he wasn't getting his ass kicked over. But, you know, I understood from a very, very, very early age what Aretha Franklin meant to the world. Not just my family, just to the world in general. So, you know, I don't normally eulogize anyone famous, you know, is it's enough to watch people that you know die right. on a personal level. But, you know, when something like this happens, like Bowie, Aretha, like, just it's big. It's big, and it's a lot more culturally significant than people might want to give it credit to. It's gonna be a big old lasting impact. So my dad just loved Aretha Franklin, like, to the point where, like, you look at my mom, and no disrespect to my mother is a saint among women. I love my mother, but knowing how he felt about Aretha, I don't know how he ended up with my mom sometimes. You know, like,
your poor mom.
I love my mother, and I love my dad, and I love you, Aretha. Rest in peace.
What did you love this week? What cool shit did you fall in love with this week?
The cool shit that I am psyched about this week is that Weston is doing a reunion.
Another one.
I don't care. It never gets old to me. Weston's one of my favorite bands growing up, and they still are. They will always have my heart. They're doing a one night only show in Brooklyn in October, and I'm gonna get a ticket tomorrow.
I will never get over Chuck quitting the band.
You know, I used to think that, and I eventually did.
Chuck was Weston, but I understand that. I will probably be there if I can be there. I actually saw that pretty much that same show years ago.
Oh, no, this happened, like, I think in 2015. I think the only difference is they have, like, the Ramones, which is an
I
want to see the Ramones. It's a female Ramones cover band, but, like, in 2015, it was the Fiends. Otherwise, it was the same
show. Which is the absolute worst replacement for the Ramones. Like, the Ramones are so much better than the Fiends. The Fiends are like hot garbage.
No, the Fiends are not like hot garbage.
They're so bad.
Bite your tongue, George.
Why?
Because the Fiends, Jerry is a very good songwriter, and the Fiends are great, and it's
the
just different.
The Fiends are so not good.
They are great.
Oh, they had that Nitro record. It was so bad.
They had a Nitro record?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, everyone's on Nitro at a time.
Anyway, I saw a movie called Room, just Room, R-O-O-M.
I heard about that.
It's on Netflix right now. It came out in 2015. It is a movie about a woman who was kidnapped at 16, and she was forced into slavery by this man in a cupboard or like in a lockbox, and she was just raped over and over again.
So not a Hambone movie.
No, and she had a baby boy, and she raised the boy in the room. And at 6 years, when he turned five or six, she's like, "We need to get the fuck out of here." And she trains the boy to play dead so that she can, like, wrap him to carpet and throw him out, and he could escape. And it is incredible. And then, like, the life outside the room, it's kind of like Brigsby Bear, and but not at all like Brigsby Bear. I like feel bad movies. This
you
actually had, it had an uplifting ending. I got nothing. Anyway, Harvey, Big Black, our hero of the week. How can we reach you?
Incognito. Take out the Edo and do Negroidian. That is me. I will be putting a lot of Aretha Franklin memories and videos out. So expect that. But I'll talk about anything you want.
I need you, Harvey. I need you, as soon as you can, when you can, to come up with a list of topics you want to talk about. Because you come up with some pretty crazy shit online. And I feel like you need an outlet. Like, your favorite black whatever. We'll talk about
it. Doesn't have to be black, George.
No, he usually does that. He does, like, fair. His weird, like, favorite, like, I don't know. But we will talk about it. I mean, you want to hear, you know, middle-aged white men's perspective on, like, I don't know, whatever your topic is of the week. We will do it, Harvey, for you. Does that sound good?
We'll discuss it on Sunday.
Or whatever you want. Just come up with some topics. We'll do you, too. We will do you. And
well, no, I don't really swing that way, but we'll discuss the topic.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Everything's got to get...
Was coming, oh.
Right over the plate. It was a bunt. It was a bunt at best.
Hambone, talk to me, buddy.
You can find me at Hambreaker on Twitter, where I pretty much just tweet about Dungeons & Dragons, professional wrestling, and I have lately been showing off a lot of Pomeranians and retweeting cute animals. You can also check out my other podcast, the Vintage RPG Podcast, where we talk about games from yesterday, today, and the future.
It's amazing. Every time we do a Vintage RPG podcast, we get 100 more subscribers on this show.
I put us over.
Which clearly works very well for us.
I told you. I'm getting everyone over this year.
I don't think anyone is going from here to the Vintage Podcast. But Jesus Christ, our like numbers double every time you do one of those episodes.
I'm working for it, man.
You can.
Me.
Oh, that's wrong
Who
button.
The hell am I?
I don't know what button that is. Hold on. No, not that one.
Conan.
No, not
There's
that.
Best one. In life.
Yeah.
Crush
Conan.
Your enemies.
Yeah.
Let it play out. Let it play
See
out.
Driven before you.
Hey, I'm George, and you can reach me at GLK Creative on Instagram. You can reach me at GLK Creative on the Twitters. I'm at cultofgeorge.com, blogging about punk rock, rock and roll, and the 90s, which was so much better than today. You can find the Mai Tai Happy Hour archive at MaiTaiTV.com, as well as the old episodes where we were way more drunk, way more surly, and Hambo is way more fun. You can also rate, review, and subscribe to this show. It helps us out a ton. We really appreciate all the new fans over the last couple weeks. You are our heroes. Please, please never abandon us. Please never abandon us. Please never abandon us. I can't handle the stress. I can't handle it. Anyway, take us out, Hambone.
Everybody remember, be nice. Aloha.
That wasn't a very good aloha. You've done better alohas.
Should I do it again?
Yes.
Everybody remember, be nice. Aloha.
I'll edit that. Not.
Come on, son.
Mai Tai happy hour. In the happy hour, Mai Tai to talk to. Painkillers and passion fruit punch. Harvey has a gigantic penis.
George!
And Hambone's hair has knots.
My hair doesn't have knots. It's very soft and supple.
My back pocket every once in a while.
That's I think that's wise.